congenial group, a few old army chums of Hugh's and a pair of pretty twins who remind me of our debutante days. Such girlish glory. How time marches on. Lucas agreed to be torn from his farming duties for most of the week, and I count on you to keep him out of trouble and away from disobliging sheep and reluctant root vegetables. It will be heaven to have dear friends here again. We've missed you. Bring your riding togs. We'll have three new additions to our stables, brought all the way from Ireland. I can't wait for you to see the improvements I plan for the grounds here, and will welcome your suggestions. I do hope you can come despite the late notice. Yours affectionately, Pamela. Chapter 1. Fernald Hall, Broughton Magna, Gloucestershire. A Saturday afternoon in June, 1925. The brick stable yard was clattering with laughing guests and lofty horses, the equine's blindingly shiny tack redolent of harness oil, brass polish, and saddle soap. The humans were equally well turned out, and Lady Adelaide Compton was glad she'd had a new riding habit made. The jade tweed brought out the green of her hazel eyes. Even if she disgraced herself riding, she'd look damn good doing it. She waited for her mount to be brought out to her from its box with just a touch of nervous excitement. It had been quite some time since she'd sat on a horse. Major Rupert Charles Cressley Compton, her late and sincerely unlamented husband, had converted their stables at Compton Chase into a garage to hold his car collection. To be frank, she now preferred an automobile's horsepower to the real thing. Much to her late and sincerely lamented father's disappointment, despite years of pony club, she'd never been a natural horsewoman. It was doubtful she'd turn into Boudicca 1 month shy of turning 32. She swallowed as a horse was led to her. It was very tall, glossy as the rest of Hugh's mounts, perhaps even glossier. A lovely colour, rather like an Irish setter, which made sense since he was an Irish horse, but still. Addie had reservations. Her reluctance must have shown, for the Irish horse stud owner, Patrick Cassidy, as glossy and burnished as the horse itself, touched her shoulder. Ordinarily, she would have stiffened at the familiarity. She'd only met the man at lunch, but this week she was trying to be the woman everyone expected her to be. A merry widow, sophisticated, rich and titled, not a care in the world. Closets full of first-class fashion, half of which she'd apparently brought with her for the week-long house party, since her maid, Beckett, wanted her to make a good impression. Even if she changed 10 times a day, she'd never repeat herself. With her usual cheeky candour, Beckett had informed Addie that she needed some fun. A flirtation was just the ticket, one that might even turn into a fling, as was de rigueur at so many country house parties. Naughty nocturnal navigations. What her maid left unsaid, something to take away the sting of Addie's unsuccessful attempt to seduce Detective Inspector Devenant Hunter of Scotland Yard. She had thrown herself at the man 2 months ago, and he'd resolutely refused to catch her. Patrick Cassidy looked more than capable of fielding flying females.
"I picked him out specially for you, Lady Adelaide," Mr. Cassidy said. "He's a touch over 17 hands. Isn't he grand, and as gentle as any lovely young woman such as yourself could wish?" In other words, this particular horse was almost as big as horses grew. Addie swallowed again. The man's Irish accent was charming. He accompanied his horses to the Fernalds for the sale from Belfast a few days ago. According to Pamela, his horses were world famous, and he was as much sought after as a dinner companion as a horse breeder. He certainly was attractive, if overly optimistic about her riding skills. Addie smiled.